1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Ed Marlow, the Paducah Sun. He'll be along in just a bit as we talk Racer football. We'll also talk some high school football as well from this past weekend and take a look at a couple of games coming up this week. It'll be joining me in just a little bit, but sort of mourning, you know, anytime someone who's dear to us, even though we've never met him, I've never met Yogi Berra, but saddened because he's, since I was a kid, always part of my life as a baseball player, manager, and then as a spokesman or a Hall of Famer, whatever it happened to be. And after, this is from biography.com, some of these notes that I have here in front of me, but after serving in the U.S. Navy in World War II, Berra became one of the Yankees catchers in 1946, and he spent his entire career with the team. And the thing he did is he was a good batter, but virtually never struck out. Never hit a pitch he didn't like, had just a huge strike zone, but he'd get the bat on the ball. If he didn't hit it fair, he'd foul it. And his peak came in the 1950s. He won the American League Most Valuable Player honors three times. So if you think all Yogi was just his funny sayings, do some research. He's a lot more than that. He's a fantastic player. He played in 14 World Series, 15 All-Star games, helped Don Larsen achieve a perfect game in the 1956 World Series, and retired as a player after the 1963 season. And just because of how young I was, I guess watched baseball then, but really started following it closely in 1964. So those are where most of my memories are. So most of what I remember of Berra, other than like highlights, are the manager moments, managing the Yankees, managing the Mets. He helped the Mets win the National League pennant in 1973, left the team a couple years later. So, Yogi, a big part of everything. We have a report on the life of Yogi Berra from Alice Stockton Rossini. She's with 24/7 Sports. We subscribe to that, and a couple of things that she filed.
Hi, this is Yogi Berra. When you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Yogi Berra observed a lot by watching. He noted, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. Asked, how can you think and hit at the same time? Yogi-isms aside, Yogi Berra was the epitome of the American dream. Told he was too small to make it, he appeared in 14 World Series games and acquired enough rings for every finger and thumb. He holds World Series records for most games, at bat, most hits. He was a 15-time All-Star and took great pride in the Yogi Berra Museum in Montclair. He was the best catcher in the history of baseball and managed two of the best teams, the Yankees and the Mets. It ain't over till it's over, Yogi, but your legacy lives on. Alice Stockton Rossini, New York.
And she also talked to a few fans.
Any thoughts on Yogi Berra this morning?
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad to hear. I hate that. I loved Yogi. All his little phrases he came up with. Deja vu all over again.
Any thoughts on Yogi Berra this morning?
Who's Yogi Berra?
You don't know who Yogi Berra is? Seriously?
No, I know who he is. That's a shame.
The last of the great ones. Got Whitey Ford left. That's it.
Who doesn't know him, you know, right? Everybody knows his quotes. Everybody knows what he did. 10 world championships. Good representative of Yankees and New Jersey, actually. And the Mets, and I love the Mets. So it ain't over till it's over.
Alice Stockton Rossini, New York.
All right, just a couple of notes. And he was a St. Louis native, born in St. Louis, grew up with Joe Garagiola. What a neighborhood that probably was, I'm sure. As one of those guys, and I've always said, I've been asked many times, if you could just sit down and chat with someone with baseball, you know, maybe win a raffle for 2 or 3 hours just to hang out with them and hear stories. Well, I would, of course, probably put Willie Mays at number one. Stan Musial would have been there. But Red Shandies, honestly, he's probably number two just because of how long he's been around the team. I would guess that his stories would just be amazing. But Yogi Berra would be right there. Just think of the Yankee championship stories that he could tell, the good times, and I'm sure some of the bad ones, although there weren't many of those on the field for sure, but would have been a lot of fun. And Yogi, despite, you know, dying at age 90, lived a long, rich life, and he's a treasure. He certainly will be missed, but What a way. What a life for Yogi Berra to achieve his dream of playing professional baseball, be a success at it, managing, and then just had a great life. But Yogi Berra dead at age 90. Well, speaking of baseball, since we're on the subject, the Cardinals with a big win over the Reds last night. Rather than me rattle on about it, let's let John Rooney tell you.
Last night at Busch Stadium, the Cardinals were fantastic. Tommy Pham drove in two of the three runs, and the Cardinals won 3-1 over Cincinnati.
It was a double in the third inning. That scored Matt Carpenter, then a sacrifice fly in the seventh inning. Cardinals added another sacrifice fly later on. That went off the bat of Colton Wong. So not a lot of offense, but enough to beat the Reds for the second straight night.
How good was John Lackey?
John Lackey was great again. He's been great all season long. A lot of strikes from Lackey. He really handled himself well. The Reds have a pretty good lineup. They've got guys that can hurt you, but Lackey was able to avoid the damage in the middle of the lineup and get the outs he needed.
And for the second straight ball game, the Cardinals won a close one over Cincinnati, and the Reds had a 1-0 lead after the first inning. I think the ball Jay Bruce hit is still in orbit.
He had a bomb to right center field, one of the longest home runs you're going to see here at Busch Stadium. But the Cardinals prevailed. Lackey, the winner.
That's Rick Horton. I'm John Rooney. The Cardinals go for the sweep tonight behind Lance Lynn.
Thank you. We'll have it on the air this evening at 6:20 on WNBS. Let's check some local high school sports. Crosstown Classic night. Murray, Callaway battling. And they split on the boys' side first. Brian Wilhelm continues his fabulous season. Had a hat trick and an assist, helping Callaway County beat Murray 6-0. The Tigers had only two shots on goal. The Lakers having a fantastic season. 10-3, the Tigers dropped to 5-8 on the season. Now, on the girls' side, speaking of fantastic seasons, how about the Murray High Lady Tigers? They'll be playing for an All-A Classic State Championship this weekend, but they had a tough time last night. Callaway County giving Murray all they want. It's what a rivalry is all about. Lydia Grogan scored in overtime, and that's the only goal scored. Murray High beats Callaway County 1-0. The Lady Tigers are 12-2. And Callaway County dropped 2-6-6. Other girls' matches saw St. Mary Blank Ballard Memorial 2-0. Grays beat McCracken 1-0. Fort Campbell down Caldwell County 8-0. Other boys' games, St. Mary a 4-1 winner over Ballard Memorial. Graves and McCracken a 1-1 draw. Lyon County beat Webster 10-1. Trigg over Christian 5-1. And Caldwell County down Hopkins Central 3-0. In volleyball, Fulton City a 3-0 win over Lake County. Marshall County beat Graves County 3-1. Hickman County down Fulton County 3-0. Christian Fellowship beat Carlisle 3-0. Caldwell swept Hopkinsville. Trigg swept Crittenden County. Congratulations to the Murray State men's golf team. A blistering final round led to a 16-shot victory for the Murray State men's golf team at the 12th annual MSU Invitational at Miller Memorial. The Racers carted a final round 3-under par 281 to finish at 853 and pull away from second place Tennessee Tech's 289. Brock Simmons leading the Racers to victory with a 210 total. He and Alabama State's Branson Ferrier tied, forcing a sudden-death playoff that Ferrier won for medalist honors. Murray State had two other players in the top five in addition to Simmons, Preston French, and Matthew Zakutny. French shot a 66 yesterday. That was the best round of the event. He finished at 213, and Zakutny settled for a spot in fourth place with a 216. Well, coming up on tomorrow's show, it'll be our OVC previews as we take a look at the conference games on tap. We'll have audio from all the head coaches on Thursday's edition of the Neil Bradley Show as we get a preview of what's to come in the Ohio Valley Conference. Stay tuned. Ed Marlowe is next, right after this.
Tries to make a man miss, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown!
Racer football returns to Roy Stewart Stadium on Saturday, September 26th at 6 p.m. when Murray State welcomes the Tennessee Tech Golden Eagles. Enjoy family weekend with a morning 5K hosted by the Racer track and field team, followed by the evening football game. You won't look back at the games you watched from the couch. Be there. Football tickets are still available by calling 270-809-3000. For details, visit GoRacers.com.
Hi again, everyone. Welcome back. As promised, the Paducah Suns' Ed Marlowe joins me. We'll talk some high school football in a moment. But, Ed, I wanted to ask, had you ran into anybody over the last week who said, you wait and see, Murray State will end up scoring more points, 26 against Northern Illinois, Ohio State 20? Who would have ever thought that? Do you know anyone that predicted that?
the Racers were close to putting up 26 against Western Michigan.
They were, yeah, you're
and,
right.
And I think it's I think it is safe to say, at least right now, that NIU is better than Western Michigan.
Right.
Just in this part of the season. Now, who knows, later in the season, you know, Coach P.J. Fleck and company, they may have all of their horses, you know, running at the right pace and on the right track and headed in that direction. But, you know, I mean, it is kind of funny. Then you see this week and you see Northern Illinois give everything and more to number one Ohio State. And it'll be interesting to see Western Michigan play Ohio State this weekend and see how they do against, you know, some of the best FBS, you know, teams in the country. So, yeah, it is interesting to see the Racer offense and even the defense at times be successful against these two very, very, very talented FBS programs, MAC or not. It really doesn't matter. I mean, we've already seen the MAC be successful this season. Toledo go and beat Arkansas. You know, and I mean, it just doesn't matter anymore. Parity, in my mind, comes in all shapes and sizes, most especially this year in the FCS and the FBS. So I don't know if you could have I don't know if I would have drawn it up that way. You just never know. The Racer offense is very special, at least from a passing perspective. And the rushing attack, we all knew going into this game that Western Michigan was going to focus on stopping the run, and they did. They did just that. You know, the first two runs, Roman Clay, Nick Taylor, I think they both were like gains of one and minus five, and, you know, and nothing really got going until about the fourth quarter when things kind of just shift a little bit. So, Neil, you're right. I mean, who would have thought that the Racers would come home with 46 points after two very long road trips?
This week, they finally do get back to playing their own. It's, in fact, get back to it. It's the first time they've done it since last season when they take on Tennessee Tech. This is a team that is coming off a win. They have some good things that they usually do defensively, and it's the first time in a number of years that they've come to Murray healthy. They're relatively healthy. So are the Racers. This will be an intriguing matchup, and this is probably the first real test to see exactly what we have in the Racers. I think we both know they're really good offensively, but has the defense really improved? Coach Watson Brown on the teleconference yesterday seemed to think so. This will be a great test for them, Ed.
I agree, Neil. Obviously, a lot of people will be watching the Racer offense, you know, seeing if they can continue to put up points at a high mark, continue to operate in an efficient fashion against Northern Illinois and against Kentucky Wesleyan. The running game was very effective. Obviously, with Western Michigan, those horses up front really kind of limited Murray State's rushing attack until late in the game. You know, I think just the biggest test for the Racers, and this sounds kind of strange, I don't necessarily think it'll be Tennessee Tech so much as it'll be themselves, you know, going out and continuing to play at mostly mistake-free football. I know KD has had a couple interceptions these last couple of games, two or three, but actually I think he has four right now. But for the most part, the Racers haven't fumbled the ball. They, you know, they've taken care of, you know, their possessions. Their interceptions have come at, you know, at times where, you know, the Racers were just taking shots to try and put some points up. I think it'll be themselves. You know, they just haven't been. They haven't been home. They haven't been in their own friendly confines. So they'll want to get off on a fast start. Coach Stewart was talking about how he thought he was a little conservative at the start of Western Michigan. We may see a few shots taken early against Tennessee Tech, just try and test their defense and see if they're prepared for that big play action that the Racers can have. And the other test will be, you know, Watson Brown. You know, I mean, the guy's been coaching for an eternity. And he's a fantastic coach. He's always done a really good job turning these programs around. And he'll be digging out of his gadget book to see, you know, what they did last year to beat the Racers 30-27 in overtime in Cookeville. So, you know, I think those are the two biggest keys this weekend. I think the Racers maintaining possession, not shooting themselves in the foot on third down or in the red zone, and then of course just trying to outsmart Watson Brown. He's a crafty guy who's been at it a long time. And so those are my two keys going into Saturday's game.
Let's take a look back at Friday night's high school games. And I know we talked about that Mayfield-Graves game last week. And it looked like it was going to be a close one, no doubt about it. And then Mayfield loses their star tailback, Trajan Bright. So you figure this is going to go down to the wire. That might even give the edge to Graves. Nothing could have been further from the truth. It was just a romp for the Mayfield Cardinals.
It was just, you know, I talked to Mike a lot about this. He was at that game, and we were kind of texting a little bit back and forth. And, you know, I think a lot of – it's tough because you see it week in and week out how special they can be, but I don't think there's a lot of talk or even a lot of value outside of Mayfield. People don't really look at Mayfield's passing attack as something that's very lethal, and that's the furthest from the truth that anybody can see. I mean, Landon Arnett and Lane Kennemore are a great connection, quarterback to wide receiver. They do such a fantastic job, you know, finding each other. You know, when Landon's in trouble, Lane gets open. You know, when Landon's in trouble, Landon gets open. Landon can get it done with his feet as well. I've seen him scramble time and again for first downs and long gains and, you know, and touchdowns and things like that. He is capable of moving out of the pocket. And their passing attack is what ended up upending, you know, breaking open a few big plays against Graves County. That being said, they have some depth at running back. I just don't think that they were, you know, that they knew they were going to have to test it this early in the season. I don't want to speak for anybody in particular, but I think unofficially, Trajan has a dislocated elbow. It's either shoulder and elbow, of the arm, of course, but I'm not sure the specifics on his injury. I haven't heard anything about a timetable, but it did kind of change things a little bit for them. But as Mayfield always does, they always have, you know, somebody waiting in the wings. They always have somebody ready to step up and show that, you know, hey, they've been playing football since they were 4 and 5 years old, and they want to play too. And so, yes, Mayfield is a different team when they don't have Trajan Bright on the field, but you know, they're one of those teams, they're not going to deviate very far from a game plan. Coach Joe Morris has been coaching for a long time, and, you know, and he always has those kids ready. And it's not like they're going to scrap things and just throw them to the wind or burn it in the fire just because one kid goes down. Yes, Trajan Bright is special, but they're a team just like anybody else in Region 1 and in Region 2, and they're going to do their best to maintain and stay faced and do what they know how to do. And they did that against Graves County. No questions asked. From the first quarter to the fourth, they put a licking on the Eagles.
Paducah Tillman, an easy win over Madisonville as well, 49-7. So they're looking like the team that a lot of folks thought they would be early in the season.
They are, Neil. All of their weapons are very effective right now. I mean, they've got, you know, Xavier McEwen ran all over the place against the Maroons. Jesse Dennigan hooked up with Jordan Prather. And that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be able to ground and pound and then hit over the top with Dennigan to Prather. And they've just, yeah, they've been a little uneven to start the season. They've got a couple big wins and a couple head-scratching losses. At least in their eyes, they do, you know, have a couple head-scratching losses to, you know, to Central Hardin and then, you know, but then turn right around and beat Graves County, you know, but then lose to Mayfield in dramatic fashion. And so, you know, it's high school football is just fine. You know, it's really interesting and to see just kind of the parity there. You know, we were talking the parity at the college football level, but especially at the high school level. You know, you just never know who's going to come away with a big game. You never know where the mismatch is. And this last weekend it was Savion McEwen with the Maroons. I think McEwen finished with, I think he was over 150 all-purpose, a couple touchdowns, just a very talented player. And then Jordan Prather was, you know, of course, very effective as well. So, you know, Tillman's going to be a tough team. The last 2 or 3 years, they've always turned it on late. And, you know, here we are at the halfway point of the season, which is crazy to think, by the way, that we are already six weeks into the season. But Tillman is right there in the thick of it as one of the best teams in the region.
Murray High getting off their two-game slide last week with an easy win over Marshall County. They have to go to Russellville this week. Russellville is 5-0. This will be a big test for the Tigers, especially if they're not all healed up.
It will be, Neil. You know, taking a look at Russellville, you know, they were one big play away from beating Mayfield in last year. Before, you know, the playoffs came, and then they got the Mayfield that everybody had seen all season, and I think Mayfield beat them 42-14 in the playoffs. So, you know, Russellville is right there. They don't necessarily play a lot of Western Kentucky teams, you know, on their schedule. You know, they play a lot of that Central Kentucky, a lot of those teams around there. They focus a lot of their schedule around that area. But, you know, that being said, I picked Murray in this game in our weekly pick'em, but it's certainly one of those games where Russellville, you know, they have the home advantage, they have the home edge, the Racers. Murray does have to, you know, travel a pretty long way. I mean, it's far. It's far enough for a team to feel really kind of uncomfortable and out of place. And if things start going the wrong way real quick, it could be a long night for Murray. That being said, Murray is starting to get a little healthier, Neil. They've got Malik Britt back. I know Peyton Glenn is probably still another 2 to 3 weeks away before he is back in a live game action. But DeJuvani is healthy, and I think that's the ultimate difference. When his ankles and his knees are healthy, that's just a different football team, both defensively and offensively. And so, you know, he looked fresh as ever against Marshall. I think he really had to battle a few things against Graves County. Wasn't able to really scramble out of the pocket like he usually does. And that's how that offense creates mismatches and finds wide receivers downfield. If they're going to throw the ball at all, excuse me, Vonnie has to be able to get out of the pocket. It's just one of those things that's how he helps make defenses break down. They come down on him as he tries to scramble out, and that usually leaves the receiver open. So, that being said, they are starting to get a little bit healthier. You could tell that they were starting to get their mojo back a little bit against Marshall County. And we'll just see how this weekend goes. But, you know, certainly a big road test for Coach Hodge and company. Whose schedule doesn't get any easier.
Boy, no kidding. Our other local team, Callaway County, finally off the schneid, beating Trigg County in overtime 33-27. It always does a lot for kids when you're really struggling to be able to sleep Friday night with a win under their belt. They'll get a little tougher here against Madisonville, North Hopkins, both those teams coming off losses. But it's good to see the Lakers pick up a win for their program, at least from our perspective.
It was, Neil. And, you know, I hate to say it. I don't think anybody picked Callaway to beat Trigg last week in the Paducah Sun weekly pick 'em. I almost did, but it was just one of those things that you hadn't seen much of a running game come out of Callaway County. Granted, they played some big guys up front. You know, a lot of people thought that they were going to beat Ohio County, but Ohio County was senior laden and really big up front, and they weren't able really to get the running game started. And a couple other games, you know, especially the Marshall County game, kind of got away from them. Marshall County was a little bit bigger than they were up front, and Dalton Nelson ran for 200 rushing yards, on 33 carries. And so Coach Garrison and company were never really able to maintain any momentum and get an offense going with those big horses up front. But, you know, that being said, I think the difference last week was Callaway was able to get a running game together. You know, they were able to have Chandler Kane come out with, you know, 20 carries, 80-something yards, and a couple guys fell behind him for some positive yardage. And I think that's what makes a big difference, you know. And then you see, of course, Cole Stetson able to come out with, you know, 250-plus passing yards and hit a couple big plays. And I think that's what made the difference. You know, the Lakers have been seeking a balance and a type of consistency where they can pass and run the ball. And Chandler Kane, you know, proving that he could take the ball between the tackles and attack some of those bigger guys that these teams are throwing at, you know, Callaway's young offensive line. And I think that's what made the difference. And later this year, that balance will serve them well. Their schedule gets a little more difficult there in the middle as well before it gets a little easier before the playoffs. So, You know, is this the Callaway team that can have 4 and 5 wins going into the playoffs? It's possible, you know, if they have this balance that they found against Trigg County. So, yeah, absolutely, a big win, especially in overtime on their home field. I think they only have 3 true home games. And then they had the 1 game, of course, at Roy Stewart Stadium, and then the rest is on the road. So to deliver a home win like that to their fans is, you know, it's pretty special and a good win for Coach Garrison in his first year.
Ed, I appreciate the visit again this week. Appreciate you accommodating me with a little bit later record time. That's always awesome. So we'll chat with you next week. Hopefully there'll be some more games. And I'm like you, I can't believe we're over, you know, halfway through the high school football season, all these district races coming up. Things are really going to start to take shape in the next few weeks, so it will get interesting.
Absolutely, Neil, and I really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that is Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun.